Amen. Okay, we will learn in the Schlisser for Shlema of Chaim Lishvelov and Sheva and everyone else that needs refuos in the world who needs Yeshuos. So we are in an interesting daf. The beginning of the daf sounds a lot like we've been talking about in terms of some things you can take out, some things you can't take out. But then we get into some interesting stuff, including some riveting agadita at the end of the daf, which we will get to. But for now, let's talk about tefillin again. So the Gemara had just talked about amulets, and it was questioning whether you can bring an amulet into a bathroom and things like that. And we talked about whether can you actually carry it in your hand. We passed against that in the end of the day. But then at the end of the day, it says that when we talk about having an amulet, we're talking about an amulet covered in leather. In which case, it wouldn't be such a problem to bring it into the bathroom because it's covered. Typically, we possibly need double covering, but I guess because it's an amulet or because this is different shita, it only needs one covering. So here the Gemara says, the Hari Tefillin. Wait a second. Tefillin, we all know from the Gemaras that we talked about in Brachos, that you're not supposed to go into a bathroom with tefillin on. But then it says, wait a second, tefillin are also covered in leather, right? The box and the straps are all leather. So the parchment's all on the inside. So why don't we say similarly that they're covered in leather and therefore you'll have to take them into bed? But the Braisa says, HaNichnas v'esakise chodz tefillin b'richuk arba'amos v'nichnas. A person has to take off their tefillin four amos away, and then they can go in. I don't know why four amos away. Presumably because you're in the jurisdiction of the bathroom or something. I don't know. So Gemara says, no, hasa mishum shin. That's because of the shin that's on the outside of the tefillin. Now, what this means practically, if it's literally talking about the shin and the shin alone, I'm not sure. My take on the Gemara, and I might be wrong, is that that the three letters, shin, dalet, and yud, make up Hashem's name on the outside, and therefore those aren't covered. Rashi says, shasuim orachitzon atzmo kumod, we go give kumod, kumod, shin, yeah, mishakai vadalas vavav osim mekashish kosher etu achas tavur machs merzoch kumin dalar etu ketana melot tulu ba veim ba elak fifa kumin yud mekofe boda or alach. It sounds like Rashi is saying that's what the concern is, the shin dalit and the yud, that the tefillin themselves on the outside are bullied. Those letters are distinguishable to make the letter of the name of Hashem. So shin dalit. Yes, Steve.
The kedusha of the tefillin themselves. So we're saying that there is no kedusha other than the parshios inside as an absolute. In other words, the fact that we're supposed to make these tefillin, doesn't that in itself make it something that has the kedusha we're looking at? It takes it out of the category of just regular leather.
Yeah, but we're not talking about the inner leather. The whole point is that we're talking the amulets. We said are okay to bring into the bathroom because you're covering them with other leather. Here it's saying that you have parchment, but they're covered with other leather. So the Gemara says no. Even the covering has Hashem's name on it.
Right, but I'm saying even without the Hashem's name, there's kedusha because of tefillin itself. Not
yeah, but they're covered.
No, but you're saying that the only purpose of the leather on the outside is for the covering. I'm saying that the design, the everything about it is something that has kedusha in itself, not just the letters inside.
Yeah, no, we have
an amulet is not the amulet.
We have different. I think I know what you're saying. I think you're saying that the tefillin themselves are one unit, and the covering is itself the tefillin, and we don't consider that one of the coverings.
Right, the bag that made out of leather, maybe not.
I hear what you're saying. It's an interesting Havamina based on what you're saying. It's an interesting Havamina of the Gemara. At this point, the Gemara thinks that the cover could be something else. It could be a separate entity. What exactly the Gemara thinks in the end of the day after this, I'm not sure. Meaning, if one were to write Hashem's name and just Hashem's name on a piece of leather, would that have the same kedusha as the parchment of the tefillin on the inside? Presumably not. Presumably has the status of the amulets. So your question would be, do you need another covering? Do you have to put the shell of the tefillin into the geniza, basically? Right. Yeah. So the amulets you put in these, would you save the covering of the tefillin, the tefillin boxes? Would you save those from a fire? Are they literally like the amulets, or or are they similar to the parchment on the inside of the tefillin? It's a good question. I don't know if we see this Gemara as saying that the outside of the tefillin is on a lesser level of kedusha than the inside of the tefillin, but we definitely treat it lahalacha. We treat it like it has kedusha. You can't bring it to the bathroom. You need two coverings above the boxes, not just the box itself. So yeah, so I don't know, practically the fire from this Gemara, the fire would be only the only discussion point that I think is relevant for that question, but it is an interesting theoretical. So the Gemara says it's because of the shin, the dalet, and the yud. We saw this for some reason, I forgot why, in the Gemara in Brachos. We'd have to look back at that to see why. It might have been because of this. But we have the shin and dalet, and you know, make it kedusha just like an amulet. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah and says, "V'lo b'shuryom, v'lo b'kasta, v'lo b'magafayim." You're not allowed to go with these pieces of clothing. So what are these pieces of clothing? So the Gemara says, "Shuryon zarda kasta, amarav sanvarasa, magafayim amarabi puzmaki." So what are these? I don't even know what they mean in Aramaic. So here in the Sefari it says they're an armor made of scales. I assume it's like those armor. Rav said it's a leather hat, and the Megafine Rav says are leg armor. Basically, my impression is that it's extra, you know, unnecessary clothing that you wouldn't need to go out with on Shabbos, and therefore it's going to be separate and not to be considered like regular clothing that you'd be allowed to go out with on Shabbos. Okay, the Mishnah then says, So what are we talking about? So a woman's not allowed to go out with a needle which has a hole. We talked the last time about a needle without a hole. Here it's saying a needle with a hole. The woman's not allowed to go out with a ring that has a seal on it. We talked about that last time. And she's not allowed to go out with a kuliar and a koveles and a flask of balsam oil. We'll have to talk about those a little bit. The Gemara then says, the Mishnah then says, v'im yatzasa, if she does go out with any of these, divi rabbi chayev chatas, chayev is chatas, the woman is violating a biblical principle. In Isser D'Oraisa, we talked about this by the seal. We'll talk about it again by the seal on the ring, because that is not something that she would ever use for decoration, ever use for jewelry, and therefore it's considered like she's carrying it. So, Dear Rabbi Meir, Chachamim Potrim Bekovels V'Zlochshal Piliaton. Chachamim say no. It's all at least for the Kovels and the Zlochshal Piliaton. That is only in Isser D'Midrabanan that you're going to take it out and you're going to carry it. How exactly carrying a flask of balsam oil is not an Issur D'Oraisa, I'm not sure, according to the Chacham. But the Gemara then says, Amar Ula, very interesting statement, V'chilufehen b'ish, the opposite is true by a man. Meaning that, first, what does that mean? We saw this a couple days ago, that a woman who goes out with a regular ring is okay. A woman who goes out with a signet ring is not okay. That would be possibly an Issur D'Oraisa. On the flip side, a man who goes out with a seal, a signet ring, for a man, that's a normal thing to do because of the way he uses it very, very commonly. So then it is going to be a real piece of clothing for him. Whereas if a man goes out with a regular ring without a seal on it, so that at those times would be prohibited because it's not a normal thing for a man to wear. Now, the post can talk about what about nowadays? Nowadays, where men do go out with regular rings, and that has sort of become common practice for a man to wear a ring that doesn't have a seal. So Post can talk about how we can be lenient to allow it. They say that it's definitely not an Issur D'Oraisa. There are some who say it's still an Issur Midrabanan. This is obviously all when it's not an Eruv, because you're going to take it off and show it to men. But there are also other poskim that say, even that we're not concerned about, because it's very, very normal for a man to go out with regular rings. Amar Ula v'chulavivish. So Gemara says, Alma kasavar Ula komide chazil ish l'chazil l'isha. Are you coming to tell me that anything that's appropriate for a man and is therefore not appropriate for a woman? Umidi dechazil isha lo chazil ish. That's what it seems to be Ula's understanding, that one doesn't work for the other one and the other doesn't work for that one, right? So Meisav Rav Yosef, if that's the concept, that any manly thing can't be worn by a woman, and any womanly thing can't be worn by a man, and they'd create Isurei D'Oraisa, by the fact that those aren't normal clothing. So then we have a question from Rabbi Yosef. Meisa Rabbi Yosef, Ayrom Yotim Asakin. A shepherd is allowed to go out with a garment made of sacks. It's not just the shepherds that can't do it, but also every person. It's just that we use the phrase shepherds because that's how they used to go out. So everyone's allowed to go out with the sacks. So even though the sack is not really normal for everybody else to wear, and really it's only the derech of the roim to go out with the sacks, nonetheless the Mishnah still says that everybody else is also okay, meaning that the typical clothing for one person is also permissible for another, even though it's not their typical clothing. So now the Rav Yosef is saying, how do you understand that in terms of Ula's statement? Ula's statement is saying that anything for a man can't be worn by a woman, anything for a woman can't be worn by a man, but here we have shepherd, who's the only one that wears sacks or clothing, and everybody else is also allowed to wear. So why is it that the man is not allowed to wear a regular ring, or the woman's not allowed to wear a ring which has a sign on it, a seal on it? Presumably, it's not necessarily the case. So, Ella Amar of Yosef, Kasavar Ula Nashim Bifne Atmanin. Women are a nation unto themselves. So he says, and everyone knows that women are from Mars. They come from a different planet, and therefore, it's only that women are different. They're a different category. Ula didn't mean to say that that women can't wear men, and men can't wear women, but it's just that women have their own rules. That when it comes to women wearing jewelry, so they're a yotzim and a kal. They're exceptional in the sense that the seal on the ring, the seal on the ring is going to be problematic, is going to be prohibited to them.
That answer is kind of funny because you would think that the answer would be that there's different nuances of each situation. When you're talking about clothing of men and women, it's because of the utilization of it. And it's saying the sack, the clothing of the shepherds is also clothing that anyone would wear. It's just more common by them.
Right.
But I think, to say that women are out of the category kind of takes that explanation away and puts in a whole new strange
understanding. I think this is a logical claim. It's not saying that you can't derive anything from the women. I think it's saying the same thing as before, as the shepherds, which is that that it could very well be that women's clothing can be worn by men. It's just that for women, they're an exceptional category, and you can't necessarily learn for all things that anything a woman wears, a man can't wear, and everything a man wears, a woman can't wear. It's just that specifically for women, there are exceptional halachos. I don't think it's necessarily saying. I think it's just breaking down the logical inference of Ula. I don't think it's saying one way or the other.
So can the conclusion still be here that it's dependent on the situation?
Yeah,
it's
for sure.
Something uncommon to be worn?
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I think so, yeah. So the Gemara says, Esve Abaye. So the Abaye brings up another issue. Hamotzi tefillin machnis and zug zug. If you're taking tefillin out, so you're allowed to take it out only one piece at a time. You put on the shell yad, and then you take it off inside the city. Then you put on the shell rosh, and then you from outside the city, and you bring it back in to the city. You have to do it. They have to do them separately. So Gemara says echad ish ve'echad isha. That's regardless if you're a man or a woman. That's how you would bring it back. Ve'i amar. And if you're gonna tell me that nashim amim bifnei atzman hein v'mitzvah zaseh shazman gramahu, if you're going to tell me that women are exceptional in that when it comes to men's clothing, they don't always have the permission to wear those things on Shabbos, v'mitzvah zaseh shazman gramahu, v'mitzvah zaseh shazman gramahu nashim peturos, so women should be exempt. This should be one of those exceptional categories, and yet we see that they're not exempt from it. They're not barred from wearing it on Shabbos. Even though we know that tefillin is mitzvah sashes man grama, and they're not allowed to typically wear it. So Gemara says, no, hasam kasav Rebbe Meir, lila's man tefillin, v'shabbos man tefillin, that's according to the sheet of Rebbe Meir, who thinks that tefillin can be worn at all times. In which case, havelei mitzvah sashes shalom as man grama, v'chom mitzvah sashes shalom as man grama, nashim chayavos. But the Gemara basically says, in a chanami, according to everybody else, who thinks that tefillin is a mitzvah sashes man grama, a woman would not be allowed to do this even on Shabbos, but this is going according to the sheet of Rebbe Meir. So Gemara says, wait a second.
Would Rav Meir say that women would therefore have to wear tefillin?
No, not that they would. Well, Maybe. I mean, I don't really know, because it's hard to talk in the theoretical. It presumably, if it's really a mitzvah ashes zman grama, shelo zman grama, he could technically say that. But there's another reason. I know the Gemara in Kedushin brings another reason, which is a gufnaki, which is a whole other reason for why women might be obligated, might be absolved from wearing tefillin, regardless of this zman grama thing. So it's possible, but you'd have to look at other Gemaras to see if Rabbi Meir disagrees with those things also. Either way, Gemara says, why do we say that carrying out a ring is considered an issur d'oraisa? Right? Whether it's the woman carrying a ring with a seal or whether it's a man carrying a ring without a seal, normal carrying doesn't involve putting it on a finger. V'ho tzak kila achar yad hi. Kila achar yad is the way that Gemara uses the phrase shinoi. People might be more familiar with the word shinoi. A shinoi is using something in an indirect manner or in an abnormal manner. So when you're carrying something, you carry it in the palm of your hand. You don't carry it by putting it, hanging it on a finger. That's not really carrying it. So why is it, if it's really kila achar yad, if it's really an abnormal way of carrying it, that the Mishnah implies it's chayav chatas? The Rebbe Meir says, and everyone agrees, that the carrying the ring is chayav chatas, and this is aresa. It should be an issur d'rabbanan at the most, because it's a non-typical way of carrying. Rabbi Yirmiya, b'isha gizbaran askinan. No, we're talking about a woman who does typically carry it like this. That even though it's the case that this is considered a man's garment, it is a man's ring, the woman is a treasurer for charity. Okay, and therefore, it's very commonplace for her to carry it like this. And in that case, it's enough of a normalcy to carry it for her. It's enough of a normalcy to carry this ring on the finger, but it's not enough of a normalcy for her to consider it a piece of clothing, which is a very interesting threshold, that there's a threshold where carrying it on the finger meets this threshold, but in order for it to be a regular piece of clothing, you have to do even more than that. That she has to, I guess, wear it as a normal piece of jewelry. Here she only wears it once in a while because she's a treasurer. I guess she has to sign things off and things like that. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabba Barachana Rabbi Yochanan Teiratzta Isha Ish Ma'ikol Mimar. Okay, fine. So a woman maybe could have a job as a treasurer, but how could ever a man have a job of using a ring that doesn't have a seal? Right? When would ever a man need to do that? So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava Pamim Sha'adim Nosin Lishta Tabas Shish Lochzim Al Olicha La Kufsa Uminichasa Biyada Ad Shemagas La Kufsa Upam Sha'isha Nosens Bala Tabas She'en Ola Chosim Lochla Etzel Uman Latakim Uminich Biyada Ad Shemagi Etzel Uman. Rather, says Rava, we throw out the treasurer answer. Really, it's just talking about the fact that a man and a woman typically wear rings, whether it's their own or somebody else's, to transfer them, to carry them. Meaning, if a man says to his wife to put the ring that with a seal in a box somewhere else, so when she brings it to the box, she puts it on her finger. That's how she normally wears it. So it wouldn't be atypical for her to wear it on her finger. And similarly, when a woman tells the man, hey, go fix my jewelry, so he doesn't just put it in a bag and carry it, but he puts it on his finger and he carries it. I know personally for me, I wouldn't be able to put my wife's jewelry on my fingers. I guess I have fat fingers, or she has skinny fingers, or maybe both. So I wouldn't do that, but that's what the Gemara says, that the normal way for a person to carry rings, even if it's not your own ring, is to put it on your finger, and therefore when the person would carry it on Shabbos, because it's not their, specifically because it's not their own, it's not their own clothing, it would be issur d'oraisa and not abnormal, because typically that's how they would carry it on their finger in a normal situation. Okay, v'lo b'chol yar, v'lo b'chol velas, my kol yar. So what is a kol yar? So Rav says machbanta. Machbanta is a brooch of some kind. This says that she uses it to put a collar on her clothing. I'm not sure how that works. Rashi just says you put it on the ends or the openings of the clothing. Kovelas amar Rav chumarta de pilon. Rav says kovelas is a bundle of fragrant herbs. Okay, it's some kind of, Rashi says it's some kind of sam, which is a little more than that, but it's a nice smelling thing. And Rashi says, v'isha shericha ra to'anasau aleha. A woman who doesn't smell very good might want to put on this koveles. So the Gemara says that would be aser, so the Rebbe Meir had said that's aser midaraisa. And I think the Chachamim said it only be aser midirabanan. V'chinam Rebbe Asu chumar to pilon, he also thinks it's this type of fragrant, smelling herbs. Tan Rabbana lo teitze bekovelas v'imatzu chayv chatas. Rebbe Meir v'cham omer lo teitze v'imatzu p'tura. We had said already from the Mishnah that the Shita Rebbe Meir, it's an Issa Daraisa. Shita of the Chachamim, which is that it would mean Asa Midir Rabbanan, right? Petura means Asa Midir Rabbanan. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Yotze Ish V'Kabes L'Chachila. Rabbi Eliezer thinks that a woman would be allowed to take this out over or around her neck or whatever it is, will have to go out with this bundle of herbs, even with no problem, not even Issa Midir Rabbanan, you can go out with L'Chachila, you can go out with it. So the Gemara says, we've seen this type of breakdown before. Michael Milfiger, Rabbi Meir, what are they arguing about? Rabbi Meir Savar Masoihu. Rabbi Meir thinks that carrying around this fragrance is an actual burden, and therefore it would be like carrying anything else. Rabbanan Savar Tashidu. Rabbanan think it's similar to a piece of jewelry. Vidilma Shalva Machavia, Vasila Suya. Maybe she's going to take it off and show it to somebody else. Look at this beautiful fragrance that I have. And then she's going to carry it for the Amos and Nurses Arab. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Mandir Kalamir Mai. When did we have this? We had this by, I think we said this by the ring, that a woman who has a, who could be prominent would wear a ring. I don't remember, you have to look a few dapim ago to see the same type of logic here, but Rabbi Eliezer says, who's the type of woman? Who would wear this fragrance? So Isha Sharechara, a woman who has a bad smell. And here's a fascinating shita of Rabbi Eliezer. Isha Sharechara lo shafa machavya. A woman who has a bad smell would never take it off. Even to hold it in her hand wouldn't be something she would want to do. She wouldn't even want to take it off, because when she takes it off, maybe somebody's going to smell her because it's not directly on her body. I feel like it's a huge chiddush. I don't know. Actually, Rashi says something else. Sorry, I understood the Gemara differently. Maybe it's because of... here the Sefaria says... The Sefaria translation says that the reason is because that by taking it off and holding it in her hand, people will be able to smell her. Rashi doesn't say that. Rashi says, "Sherechara lo shalva machavya sheganus hula." It would be embarrassing, it would be disgraceful to her. All the time that it's on her, and maybe it's hidden, or if it's some kind of, maybe it's like a piece, like a flower, or some kind, like they do at weddings. What are those called? Boutonnieres. It looks like a boutonniere, right? So it smells good. So then it looks like almost like it's decoration. The second she has to take it off, and then it seems like it's not really decoration, but rather it's for smelling. So that's going to be embarrassing. Maybe that makes a little more sense to me. But the Gemara says, "Vatani Rabbi Eliezer put to Kobez v'slof shel pliyaton." There's another brace that says Rabbi Eliezer says you're allowed to wear that you're not allowed to wear kovelas. That he only says the word poter, and so poter, as we said before, is an isur midra banan. So why does Rabbi Eliezer say that if he really thinks it's much lechachil? So Gemara says lo kasha, ha ki kai ad Rabbi Meir. When Rabbi Eliezer says poter, he's saying that in response to Rabbi Meir, who thinks it's asur midaresa. Haki hai adrabanan. But when he says it's completely mutra l'chachila, like we just saw before, so that's going in response to the Rabbanan. Ki kai adrabi Meir, when he's going to respond to Rabbi Meir, who thinks it's asur midaresa, amar chayv chatas, amar ihu pater. So then he says the word pater, meaning relative to Rabbi Meir, he says the word pater, which is that you're not chayv chatas, you're chayv nothing. But he's just responding to Rabbi Meir, who says that you're chayv. So he says, no, you're not chayv or pater. So Gemara says then, Kikai ad Rabbanan dami pater, but when he's responding to the Rabbanan, who say, you're pater from the Chatas, but you would be still Chaim ad Rabbanan, aval aser amar ihu mutul chachil. He would then say, in response to the rabbis, you would have that no, it's not true, you'd be mutter, it would be mutul chachila. So umay Rabbi Meir, which Rabbi Meir are we talking about that says that Rabbi Eliezer is specifically responding to him and not to the Rabbanan? Because our brisa that we saw before was only responding to the rabbis. I mean, Chachamim. It was Rabbi Meir, Chachamim, and then Rabbi Eliezer. So here, where's the brisa that we have which says that he's responding only to Rabbi Meir, and therefore he says poter instead of mutter? So the Gemara says, top of Samach Beis Amud Beis, my Rabbi Meir, Tetana, the Brisa says, Lo Tetzi Isha B'Mavtech Shaviyada, a woman's not allowed to go out with a key in her hand, V'im Yatzas Chayavas Chatas, the Rabbi Meir. And if she does go out, she'd be Chayav Chatas. That's the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer, Poter B'Kovel, So B'Tzlochus Shav Piliaton. Rabbi Eliezer says, she'd be Pater, Petura, from wearing this brooch or this herbal, this bundle of herbs. So he says, wait, Kavelas, Mandkar Shemei. Why are we talking about a bundle of herbs all of a sudden? Why are we talking about, Sorry, I mixed up the things from before. It's a bundle of herbs, is kovelas, and tzlochas shapil yaton is the flask of balsam oil. So the Gemara says, why are we talking about that? Rabbi Meir is talking about a key, carrying a key, and now you're talking about herbs. Where are you coming from? So the Gemara says, no, chasur mechzer v'chaktani. It's really supposed to be read like this. V'chem kovelas v'chem b'tzlochas shapil yaton lo tetze. Rabbi Meir says, not only you're not allowed to carry a key, but you're also not allowed to carry... You're also not allowed to carry these other things, the fragrance or the balsam oil. So the Gemara says, Rabbi, and then the Bryce says, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Eliezer does not respond to the keef statement, but he does respond to the fragrant herbs and the balsam oil, and says that would be putter. So what does he mean? As long as they smell nice, but if they don't smell nice, it would be chayeves. She'd be chayevachatas. Which means that Rabbi Eliezer sort of skips over the Isser D'Rabbanan, and he just says pater. If it smells good, so completely mutter, and if it doesn't smell good, so it'll be all the way usser, but there's no in-between stage for Rabbi Eliezer, where it would be Yasmi D'Rabbanan. Yeah, David.
For him, is this flask of balsam oil, which we haven't really addressed yet, hanging from her neck or something?
That was my impression. That's my impression. My impression is also that's the case with fragrant herbs, because he had said that she'd have to take it off, or that was the Gemara's inference before, she'd have to take it off for her to be chai v'chatas, or no, to be chai midrabanan.
That seems more normal. You could make a little bundle and wear them around as opposed to a jug of something.
Right. It's not like a soda bottle of something. Yeah, no. I wouldn't think. But stay tuned for the WhatsApp chat. The WhatsApp chat. I'm going to be talking about key belts. I don't know if people have ever seen this, but the way that you can carry a key without an Erev, based on this Gemara, which says that you're not allowed to carry a key. What do people do outside of an Erev when they have to carry a key? What ways are permissible? So stay tuned for that in the WhatsApp chat.
They did pins also, but with the fragrance,
yeah.
They used to put bottles around their neck that they would be able to put perfume in. But the thing is, when you use it, you'd be taking one piece away. It would seem that you'd end up carrying a piece
yeah.
of it.
My impression is that that's not what we're talking about, although that would be an interesting question for the oil, because the flask presumably is covered. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't seem to be worried about that here. Amr of Adabar Ahava. Zoso Maris Hamosi Ochlin Pachs Mekshir Bekli Chayev, the Ha Ein Babosim Kabas Mekshir Bekli Dami, the Katani Chayeves. Rev Adabar Ahava infers from this Brisa, which says that it only works if there's something that smells good in them. If it doesn't have something that smells good, then it's Chayev Chatas, meaning it's Asumi Daraisa to carry it. So Rev Adabar Ahava says that seems to imply that if someone is carrying something which is less than a shear inside of a kli, which they're not allowed to carry, so then you'd be chayev chatas also to ha'ein basbosim kabasli kashir bikli dami, because just like when it comes to those situations, you're only allowed to do it when there's something substantial inside of them, and if there's something insubstantial, it would not be. You could even be chayev chatas for that. That's what it's saying, that even for a small amount, you could be chayev chatas. So Rav Ashi Amar Ba'alma Ema Lecha Pater. No, in general, we would say that it's Asur Midrabanan, because it's less than a shear. V'shani Hach Delesa L'mamasha Klal. The only problem here is that there's nothing inside the vessel. If there's absolutely nothing inside the vessel, so then we consider the vessel to be something that's being carried, and therefore it's going to be chayev chatas. But if there's something inside the vessel, so then that vessel is going to be tafel to whatever is inside the vessel, and therefore it's not going to be looked at that you're like you're carrying the vessel, but rather that it looks like you're carrying what's inside the vessel. And therefore, if it's a small amount that you're carrying inside the vessel, that's still only going to be asumi d'rabbanan. But the Gemara, the brisa that says that your chayev chatas, that's asumi d'raisa, is considered a case of a vessel which has mamish nothing in it. Okay, now it's time for some agadata. We're not fully agadata yet, but this, the fact that it's quoting from Amos, is going to introduce agadata after this. Reish Shvanim Yimshach, the Gemara says from Amos that they anoint themselves with the chief of ointments. So Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel Zeh Piliaton, that's referring to balsam oil that we've been talking about. Rabbi Yosef Al Piliaton Gazer Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava of Lohodulo. There's another brisa that says that Rabbi Yehuda Ben Bava made a gezerah against wearing this balsam oil because it was too enjoyable. It was too enjoyable, and it was post the Beis Hamikdash to the Chorban, and therefore we wanted to restrict that enjoyment. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava says you're not allowed to wear that anymore. You have to take it out of your wardrobe, get rid of it. The Beis Hamikdash is destroyed. We can't enjoy ourselves that much. But at the same time, the rabbis didn't agree with him. But if it's something so pleasurable, my lo hodulo. So why didn't the rabbis agree to Rabbi Yehuda ben Bava? If it's really something that's for enjoyment, they should be okay with restricting it after the Chorban HaMikdash. You should be in a mournful state. You shouldn't be enjoying life so much. The pasuk in Amos also says that they used to have these vessels with many spouts, kinishkinin. That's how the Sepharia says it over here. And the other says that they would throw their cups back and forth. So it's some kind of joyful thing. So the Gemara says, "Hachna amid aser." This is also aser. You're not allowed to have this kind of vessel or this kind of activity of throwing the glasses. V'harabah barav huna ikla be'rishklusav ishtu be'kinishkinin v'lo amar le'oi v'lo midi. Right. So Rabba barav huna once said to the Rishklusa, the exilarch. Obviously, if it's galus, it's after the korban. And he was using one of these vessels, and clearly it wasn't a problem. So Allah called me to the Isbe Tanuk, the Isbe Simcha Gazraban, and the only time that we're going to make Gzeira is when there's not only pleasure, but also Simcha. This is a very interesting Gemara that they distinguish between the two, because we know that there's Tanuk on Shabbos, we know that there's such a thing as Onik Shabbos. The question many posts deal with it, is there Simcha on Shabbos? We know there's Simcha on Yantif. Is there Simcha on Shabbos is a big question in Poskim. But to hear the Gemara is making a distinction between the two, that there's onig, which is pleasure, and then there's simcha, which is joy. What exactly is the difference? I would assume one is a sort of a physical response. The pleasure, the tanug, is something that physically feels good, as opposed to simcha is more of an emotional state. That's my impression. But Gazra Banan, only if both of those things happen, so that's when the rabbis say you're not allowed to do that anymore after the Chorban HaMikdash. But something which has pleasure but doesn't have simcha, so the rabbis did not make a gezer against. So Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, who said you're not allowed to have this balsam oil, that's only an issue that only has tanuk, it does not have simcha, and therefore the rabbis didn't agree with him. So the Gemara now says, well, what about the next psukim, or the other psukim? This is actually before the other pasuk from the balsam oil. But the Gemara says, "Hashochem amitol sheinu srichem al arasosam." What does the pasuk mean when it says they lie upon the beds of ivory and stretch upon their couches? So Amar Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina Malam Shai Mashtinin Ma'im Befnei Mitosein Arumim. Okay, this is going to sound a little strange, but they used to urinate in front of their beds naked. Okay, that's the problem over there, that they did such a thing. So Megadif bar Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba says, no, that can't be what it means. Is that why the psukim say only a couple psukim later that the punishment for their actions is that they're going to be exiled first? So says Rabbi Abba, Mishum demashtinin ma'im b'fnei tosein arum yiglu b'rosh golim. The reason that they're exiled first is because they urinate in front of their beds. What kind of punishment is that? That's a really severe punishment, that they have to leave Eretz Yisrael first, all because they urinated in front of their beds. So Elam Rabbi Abba, Elu bnei Adam shayu ochlem shoshem zatzat. These are referring not to just people who urinate in front of their beds, but people who would drink with each other. Avidov kemito sein zubizu, and they would connect their beds with each other. Machliv din shosein zeim zeim asrichan arisosam mishich vazer l'sheinu shelahen, and they would swap wives, and they would masriach, defile their beds with other people's emissions. And that's why it's a problem. Other people's semen that was on their beds because they were swapping wives like this. So that's why they got such a severe punishment, that they got galus because of such a terrible activity, terrible behavior. So Amar Rabbi Abba, V'armil b'masnisa, Tana shlosha devar mevinas adam l'da'anius. There are three things that bring a person to poverty. V'elohin ha'mashin ma'im b'fnei mitasu arum. Someone who urinates in front of their bed naked, mezalzel mentilas sedayim, and has a certain mezalzel here, disrespect for washing their hands properly, and for a woman who criticizes her husband in front of him. Okay, kind of three very interesting three very interesting things here. We've got a urinator, we have someone who doesn't wash their hands, and a woman who criticizes her husband. Okay, so let's go through each one of these. Hamashin mayim bifnei mitasu arum, someone who urinates in front of their bed while naked. So Amar Rava lo amar elo lemahadar apei lepuriyah. It's only in a situation where you're mamash facing the bed. If you're facing away from the bed, so that's not a problem, if anyone was concerned. So mahadar apei lepuriyah.
With that situation, is the problem the urinating or the problem the nakedness?
It's kind of interesting. It sounds like both to me. I don't know why. I don't know what the problem is in general. What's the disrespect? It's so disconnected from our reality. I don't know what the issue is.
Well, no, because it might be that it's not. There's no humility to it. There's no modesty involved. I think the nakedness might be the bigger thing. Not the.
But so then, what's the bed though?
Meaning they were lax. When they came to bed, they'd get undressed, they'd use the...
No, but I mean, that can't be because Rebbe just said that it only applies when you're facing the bed. If you're away from the bed, it's right, not immodest.
Meaning when you face away, at least you're hiding a little bit. You're not out there doing anything.
I get it. Maybe there's a certain privacy by not... I guess if there's somebody else in the bed, that maybe it's immodest to them. Yeah, I assume it's a combination of the two, that the modesty is first that they're naked and also that they're facing the bed. Yeah, David?
Is he using a container?
So we're going to talk about that in a second. Umahadra ape lepurei namilo amar elala ara. The only problem here is when you're urinating on the ground. Avabumana le slumba, even if you're naked and even if you're facing the bed, if you're doing it into a container, that's fine. The only problem is when you're doing it on the ground next to the bed. So yeah, good forethought there, David. Someone who's disgracing washing their hands. So Amar Rava lo Amar Ela de lo Mashi Yade Klal. Ooh, actually, maybe I should talk about this. never mind. Stay tuned in the WhatsApp to see what I talk about today. Someone who doesn't wash their hands properly. Lo Amar Ela de lo Mashi Yade Klal. It's only referring to someone who doesn't wash at all. Aval Masha, Velo Masha, but if you wash a little bit, so Leislan Ba. So then there's not a problem of... there's not a problem of being mezalzel in tefillas yadayim. So this is interesting because this is why I thought of maybe talking about this in the WhatsApp. I don't know if people have ever seen those who do wash mayim achronim, oftentimes wash mayim achronim with very little water. They'll only wash their fingertips. So maybe I'll talk about that and see if it's relevant for this. But stay tuned for that. It's either going to be the key or it's going to be talking about washing with full cups of water. Gemara then says, v'lam milzi, we don't paskin like that. Damar av chista, ana mishai, mishai melech chafnai, Maya viavuli mile chafni tevusa. So Rav Chista said, I wash my hands with a lot of water, and that's the only time that they give me prosperity. Meaning that in order to actually fulfill in Tefillas Yadayim, you have to completely cover your hands in water. Sometimes you'll see someone who washes and they just sort of splash some water on the thing. You got to go the whole hand. You got to cover the whole hand with water, and that's how you have to wash in order to be fulfilling of the verse. So when Rava says the only problem is when you don't wash at all, but if you washed a little bit, it's okay. So the Gemara says, no, that's not true. You have to wash the full hand in order for it to be a good in Tefillas Yadayim. That would still be within the realm of maybe mezalzel in Tefillas Yadayim. Which might be relevant to that Mayim Achronim discussion. We'll see. V'she'ishta mekaltu b'fanav, that a woman is disrespectful or critical of her husband. Amar Rava al iskhe tashchiteha. That it's referring to a woman whose husband never buys her jewelry. Some good muster today. She'ena rotza liknos la. So the Gemara says, Rava says, Vahani mili de islay velo avid. That's only in a situation where a man could afford it. They could afford it. If they're not making ends meet, so then it's not a problem for him to not buy her jewelry. Even if she criticizes him, it's not a problem because they can't afford it, and therefore it's not something that she's justified in criticizing. Okay, to each their own. Darsh Rava Breid Rav Ilah. Eli, my dechsi, what does the pasuk about Yom Hashem Yanki gavel benos Sion shayim ahalchos become as a kufa? What does it mean that the women were punished because they would be haughty? So the Gemara says that they were to walk very upright, sort of like a haughty, puffed up strut. I don't know. Vatzelach and the tuyos garon, and they walked with an outstretched neck. I think that's what it means. Outstretched neck. that they would walk in a very provocative way, very slowly, so that people will look at them. We had this phrase in Mishlei also, for those who join me on Monday night. I don't know if anyone here does. But so those who misakros enayim means like they wink with their eyes, meaning they're being seductive with the way they look at people. To have a malia kulchan leinayim miramzan, that they put on a lot of makeup and they try to seduce people miramzan, like to hint to them, seduce them in some way with their eyes. Haloch v'tafof. What does that phrase mean? Literally, it means walking and mincing as they go. That's what it has here. But it says that Shayom Hachos Aruka Betzad Kitzara, they would put a tall woman next to a shorter woman in order to make both of them look distinguished, or maybe to make the taller one more look distinguished, and therefore still draw attention to them, right? All about drawing attention. Uveraglehen ta'akasna, and their legs or their feet are tinkling. I don't know what that means, but let's see how they say it in the Hebrew, in the Aramaic. They would put different spices or different fragrances on their shoes, and they would walk in the markets of Jerusalem. When they would pass by a man in the marketplace, they would sort of kick or rub their heels together, rub the shoes wherever the fragrance is, and they would make the fragrance come out. Umatizos land, they would brush it to that man. Umachnisos ben yetzirah b'karas l'kos, and they would therefore put into them this evil inclination of the yetzirah because of that smell that they created to reel them in, to seduce them. So my peronusaihi, what was their punishment for these things? So kedirav shrabav ar ula v'haya tachas bosem mach yihyeh. That and the pasuk says in Yeshayahu, and it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be a stench. Makim shayim espasos bo nas and nemakim. The place that they would have perfume bisbasmos, they would become sort of like it would. Here it says decay. I think decay with sores. Nemakim means sometimes like to melt or to wither. So here, that those places would start to decay. I don't know exactly. It says here they would have sores. I don't know where the translation is not literal. What?
They would get a rash.
A rash, okay. So the Gemara says, "V'sachas hachagor nikpa," and underneath, instead of their belt, would be a nikpa. Nikpa means a rope here. Instead of their sash, it would be a rope. Makom shayu chaguras b'tziltzul nase nekafim nekafim. The place that they used to have to be girded with a sash would have many bruises, nekafim. V'sach z'masa mikshekarcha, makom shayim miskashtos, bo nasa krachim krachim. The place that they used to be adorned, miskashtos, would have a very like adornment. So that would become bald. I guess they would lose their hair or something. V'sach z'psigil machagor esak. The places, their openings that would usually bring them joy, any orifices, so that would become a place where they put on sackcloth. Okay, kisach asyofi amarava hainud amarinchi chalufe shufra keva. Ki is a thing. It's a brand. I'm not sure what that means. But it says, instead of beauty, they would have a sore, like a keva, whatever would bring them beauty, that would become a sore. V'sipach Hashem karkor b'no Sion, the Lord, Hashem, will bring a scab. Karkor b'no Sion will bring a scab of the crown to the head of to the daughters of Sion. Am Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Chino, what does that mean? Ma sheparcha ben tzaras, they got tzaras. Ksiv hacha v'sipach, uksiv hasam lases lasapachas. Interesting word. First of all, he used a different letter, but not for now. V'sipach implies saras. V'Hashem hashen yare, and Hashem will lay their secret parts, reveal their secret parts. Rav Shmuel Chad Amar Shen Nishbechu Kikiton, that they would have an ongoing flow of blood. V'chad amar shenasu pischein kayar, And the other says, no, it means that their orifices, where they would have relations with, would become very thick with hair, and it wouldn't be enjoyable for them to have those relations anymore. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Anshe Yerushalayim, Anshe Shachat Hayu. The people of Yerushalayim were people of arrogance. Adam Omer Lachavir B'Masa Adad Zahayom. What did you have for lunch today? B'Pas Amila. Oh, B'Pas She'ena Amila. Did you have kneaded bread or not kneaded bread? B'Yayin Gordali. Oh, B'Yayin Chardali. Did you have white wine or black wine? B'Mesav Rachav or B'Mesav Katzar. Did you have it with some kind of big couch or a small couch? B'chaver tova, b'chaver ra, with a nice person or not nice person. Amar Rav Chisda, v'kulan luznus. All of these are euphemisms for some kind of woman that they were saying, did you have relations with this kind of woman or with that kind of woman? Just to finish off before the Mishnah, Amar Rechava, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Atzir Yerushalayim shel kinamon hayu. The trees of Yerushalayim used to be cinnamon. They would have this beautiful smell. V'shash hayu masikin mehen, and when they would burn them, Recha no de v'chol Eretz Yisrael, that when they use them for their ovens or for their heating, so then it would, the cinnamon smell would stretch over all of Israel. Mishachav Yerushalayim nignezu, and when the Beis HaMikdash or Yerushalayim was destroyed, so then all these trees went away. V'lo nishtar al kaseora, they only had very small amounts of them, a small amount of like a barley. Umishtakach be Gaza to Timtsamai Malkasa, and they. It stays in the treasury of the queen named Tzimtzumai. I don't know who that is, but interesting stories nonetheless. We have more stories coming, Meretz Hashem, tomorrow. So stay tuned for some more exciting Agadata. Okay, Shkayach.